As we've mentioned before, we're so glad to have everyone with us, those who are visiting. We know most, if not everybody, visiting is family anyways, and it's always good to see you and have you with us, and hope that your travels home this weekend will be good and safe, and hope that you'll be able to be back with us sometime soon. Hope everyone had a good holiday and were able to think of a number of things for which you're thankful. And I know that you have, and I know that you are, and I hope that that will continue. I'm thankful that Larry and his family are going to be here tonight. I appreciate them, known them for 3 or 4 years now, I guess. And I've seen Larry develop into a great, not only Christian, but a gospel preacher. And I know he is doing a tremendous job in school and already doing some preaching locally and has already done some mission work. And we're glad he's going to be here tonight to tell us about that trip and to let us meet his family. I know our visitors may not be able to be here. You may have to leave this afternoon. But I hope that everyone will be able to be back tonight. Because I know that you're not only going to enjoy meeting Larry and Lori and Tyler and Christian, but you're going to appreciate seeing what good is being done in Russia. There are a number of places around the world where there are good men and women who are teaching and preaching the Word of God. Some places that is easier and more prosperous. For example, India. The church is just growing by leaps and bounds in India. It's amazing what some of those brethren in that country are able to do and how zealous the people in that country are to hear and obey the Word of God. Russia is another place where there's a lot of good being done, but the work, sadly, is not as prosperous, though it is prosperous. Not quite the rapid rate of growth as we see in other places, but they're doing a great job there nonetheless. Brother Cliff Lyons and his wife have been there for decades and have lived there and worked among the brethren, preaching in the congregation in Murmansk, and having established a school in that city to not only train preachers, but likewise for Christians to come on a weekly basis and to be taught in addition to what they're hearing on Sundays and Wednesdays. And so I'm glad that they were able to go over, and I'm glad that they're going to be here to tell us about that tonight. And we truly hope that you can be back not only to meet them, but likewise to hear about the work that's being done in that part of the world. In the book of Psalms, 8 times the word thanksgiving is used to refer to a perpetual state of thanks unto God. Now, to put that into perspective as to the amount of times it occurs in the book of Psalms, the word thanksgiving appears only 8 times in all of the New Testament. And so for the word to appear 8 times in this one book is extraordinary. And I believe it's there to instill an understanding within us as to the perpetual nature of thanksgiving. Notice these verses with me very quickly, just so that we have our minds set for the study that is before us. In Psalm 26 and verse 7, the writer says, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works." In Psalm 50 and verse 14, he says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." In Psalm 69 and verse 30, he said, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." In Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Psalm 107, 22, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." Psalm 116, 17, "I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." And then Psalm 147, 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." 8 times in this book, no less, does this writer refer to thanksgiving, and indirectly implies that it is a perpetual supplication. In other words, it is ongoing. It is continual. It is not to cease. Around this country on Thursday evening, millions of people laid in their beds and thought Thanksgiving is over. And to some degree, perhaps there was a note of sadness. We enjoy holidays such as that when we can come together and we can enjoy family time. We have a day off work. We're able to enjoy good food and good friends. But no doubt there might have been likewise a note of happiness because of all of the work that has to be put into Thanksgiving and sometimes how hectic it becomes, sadly. And yes, it's true that the holiday is over for another year. And yet Thanksgiving itself, what do you mean it's over? We've already mentioned in the book of Psalms that 8 times that word is mentioned, and I believe implies that continued effort of giving thanks unto God. And so the holiday, Thanksgiving, may be over, but Thanksgiving itself is not. We have established in this society, I say we, society has established this concept, that certain things are reserved for certain times and places. For instance, don't dress provocatively in the church building. Don't curse when you're around fellow members of the church. Don't lie to your parents. Don't flirt with someone of the opposite sex while your spouse is around. And don't openly show reverence and respect to God unless, one, you need Him, or two, society gives you a particular day in which they deem it acceptable. Now, what's wrong with at least the first 4 of these concepts? Should we dress provocatively in the church building? No. But that statement implies that it's okay if you're not in the church building. Is it right to not curse around brethren? Absolutely. But it implies that you can curse if you're not around brethren. Is it true that we should not lie to our parents? Absolutely. But that statement might imply that it's okay to lie if it's not to your parents, if it's to someone else. Or that it's okay to flirt with someone of the opposite sex as long as my wife or my husband is not around to see or hear about it. You see, society may set these concepts or these standards, but they're inconsistent. And especially when it comes to the 5th of which we mentioned, that you do not, under any circumstance, show reverence or respect to God unless you need Him, which we see from time to time. I take, for example, the vast outpouring of spiritual emotion that follows great disasters. All of our lives we may forsake God and reject God, but in times of great distress, when we believe we need Him, we may turn to Him. Or, number 2, unless society sets a day in which they deem it acceptable to show reverence and respect to God. Well, we have certain days in society, Thanksgiving being one of them. But does that mean that our giving thanks unto God should be reserved only for Thanksgiving? All around this country, around family tables, it's not a custom in ours, but it might be a custom in some of yours or others, that before you eat, you go around the table and say a few things that you are thankful for. Or hopefully it's a custom around everyone's table that you bow your heads and pray giving thanks to God before you eat. And yet while it may be a daily custom with us, for most of the world, Thursday was their annual day of prayer. What do you mean Thanksgiving's over? As each day dawns, Thanksgiving should have just begun. Because as oft as we received, as oft should we give thanks. And this morning, let's very quickly remind ourselves of just a few things that we do receive on a daily basis, that we do enjoy on a daily basis, for which we should give thanks on a daily basis. I hope you do. And if you do, I simply encourage you to continue in that area of your life. Number one, what about our daily needs? There are certain things that we simply cannot live without. And I'm not talking about the latest technology or the latest gadget. I'm talking about true and honest necessities that literally our lives would come to an end if we did not receive. And yet the Scriptures very clearly bear out the fact that God provides those necessities of life. Take, for instance, just a couple of passages of Scripture with me. First of all, Matthew 5:44-45. When in the opening chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Christ says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." I understand Christ is making a much larger point than we're going to make, but don't forget this point. God gives us that blessing. We may take for granted having the sun on a daily basis, but you take that sun away and see how quickly we're able to survive. We may take the rain that we receive for granted, and if we get too much of it, we might gripe about it. But take it away completely and see how long that we are able to survive. Those are daily necessities that God provides for us that allow us to not only survive, but to thrive and to prosper. And He says these blessings are given to both the just and to the unjust. All the world receives these blessings, these necessities of life. And for those simplest of blessings, we should give thanks. Because again, take them away and we're going to very quickly miss them. But then perhaps the most obvious of Scriptures in the New Testament, in the second chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, as it regards our daily needs, Christ said in chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now that's a very lengthy passage, but I read all of it to make a point. God will provide. Christ simply says, put your trust in God, seek first the kingdom. Don't set your priorities as things on this earth. Seek the kingdom first. Set God as your top priority. And He will provide. We live in a tough economy right now. How is it that we're going to survive? Trust in God. He's not going to let us down because He never has. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so each of us enjoy inexplicable blessings on a daily basis that are all provided by God. All of mankind enjoys natural blessings like the rain, the sunshine, air that we breathe, etc. But likewise, do we enjoy things that perhaps are not naturally given, but we receive by God nonetheless, such as carnal necessities, food, clothing, shelter, things of that nature. These blessings easily are taken for granted. And yet we should be reminded on a regular basis that they are given by God. And for that we should give thanks. 1 Timothy 4:4, Paul said to the young man, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Let us give thanks to God on a daily basis for all of the needs that we have in life because we receive them. And we should be thankful for that. Number two, what about our Christian blessings? We mentioned a moment ago that there are blessings God extends unto all of mankind. Matthew 5:44-45. But on the same note, there are certain blessings that He reserves for His children. Take, for instance, a few of them, along with the passages that prove to us their restrictive nature. First of all, 1 Peter 3:12, we read about the topic of prayer and how Peter says by inspiration, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We as children of God have a blessing, an opportunity laid before us that is unmatched in all the world. We as mere human beings may be able to converse with the greatest powers in this world. We may have opportunity to speak to congressmen or congresswomen. We may have opportunity to speak to someone, at least in our country, as high as the president. Or maybe leaders of other foreign nations. Any human being might have that opportunity, and yet Peter says the opportunity to converse and make contact with the greatest of powers is reserved. And that is for the righteous, for unto them are His ears open and His eyes over, but His face is turned against those that do evil. We as children of God have the blessing of prayer extended to us. That is something for which we should be thankful. The opportunity to communicate with the God of heaven, the Creator of the universe. That is something that I cannot wrap my mind around, and yet I appreciate it so much. And we all should for that great blessing. Number two, think about the Christian blessing of peace. Philippians 4:7, Paul refers to the peace of God which passeth all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No one else in the world can say they enjoy the peace that passeth all understanding other than children of God, because it's talking about eternal peace. The lost don't enjoy eternal peace, but we do. We have the confidence and assurance of salvation through the blood of Christ. And that gives us peace as to what shall occur after death. We enjoy that as children of God, wherein the world does not. Number three, think about fellowship. We enjoy a unique ability to have unified fellowship in the church as children of God that the rest of the world does not. Because this is a fellowship that we cannot only enjoy now, because all the world can enjoy fellowship to a degree now. Our fellowship, though, extends to eternity. Philippians 1:3-5. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul recognized that this great relationship that he had with the Philippian brethren, with the Colossian brethren, with the Roman and the Corinthian and the Galatian and the Ephesian brethren, and every other child of God under the earth from his day until time is no more, that fellowship will not only be enjoyed in this lifetime, but it will be enjoyed forever. It's a fellowship that shall never end. Because just as we are gathered together in fellowship now in this location, one day we're going to still be gathered together in fellowship. It's going to be in a different location, but it's going to be with the same people. We're just going to be around the throne of God. That's something the rest of the world cannot say. And then number four, we have the great blessing of sonship that's found in Christ. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We, as children of God, have the great blessing of being a child of God. We throw that term around a lot. I throw it around a lot. And sometimes I don't stop to fully appreciate what it means. And I don't think we stop to fully together stop to appreciate what it really means to be a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of your parents, or to have been a child of your parents? Well, you got to enjoy the camaraderie, the love, and the relationship that's found in that sonship or that childship. You receive the opportunity to be supported, to have the great blessings provided for you in your rearing. You didn't have to worry about food or clothing or shelter, because your parents provided that. But most of all, perhaps not as much as it relates to the physical childship as it relates to the eternal childship, sonship that we have with God, most of all, the inheritance that we are due. And like we said, the inheritance we receive from our parents on earth, it may not amount to much. But the inheritance we receive from God because of our sonship is priceless. Because it's out of this world, as I've heard it said. And so we have all of these blessings reserved solely for the children of God, those found in Christ. Are we thankful for each of these, for prayer, for peace, for fellowship, for sonship, and no doubt others that we haven't mentioned? Think about Colossians 4, 1 and 2. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so we should be giving thanks daily for the necessities that we receive. We should be giving thanks daily for the blessings that are reserved for those who are in Christ. But then number three, what about our soul's salvation? We talked about the blessings that we enjoy as children of God now, but what about the greatest blessing that is still in wait? And that is the actual ability to be in the presence of God, to see Him face to face, to sit at the foot of His throne, and to be in His presence forever. That's what we have as a blessing in Christ. Notice some of the ways that the New Testament refers to this salvation that we enjoy. Ephesians 1:7, Paul refers to it as redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Paul again in Ephesians referred to it as reconciliation. Ephesians 2:16, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity or the division, the great chasm thereby. In Hebrews 8:12, the Hebrews writer refers to it as forgiveness. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They shall be wiped clean. We shall be able to start anew, and in heaven there will be no sin. And we have opportunity to dwell in a place of no sin. Ephesians again refers to it as an inheritance, chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And then in chapter 2 and verse 18, Paul again refers to it as access to God. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In prayer, yes, but likewise in eternity. And so today we enjoy the anticipation and the assurance of the eternal and lasting blessing that in just a while we will enjoy the fullness of that blessing. Now we enjoy the anticipation of it, then we will enjoy the actual fulfillment of it. And so we should be on a daily basis thankful for the great opportunity that we have because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Revelation 7 and verse 12, John writes saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. I have an idea that when we get to heaven, we're going to be giving thanks forever. Why not be giving thanks now for the opportunity that we will have then? And so what do you mean thanksgiving is over? It's not over, it's just begun. On a daily basis, we should be reminded of those things that we receive that truly we could not either live now or forever without. And so give thanks to God until we shall see Him face to face and express that great appreciation forevermore. This morning, though, it might be the case that you're here and not able to enjoy certain of these blessings of which we've spoke. The blessings that are reserved for children of God because you're not a child of God. If that is the case, that is a problem that can very quickly and easily be remedied. God has provided the means by which salvation can be enjoyed. All you must do in order to receive it is meet the conditions. And He's made them oh so very clear. Have you heard about Christ? Have you heard the Word of God? No doubt you have. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? If so, will that faith instill a desire to turn from your sin, repent of it, turn away from it? If so, do so. Repent. Confess your faith before us, and this morning you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, at which point not only will you be added to the church, at which point you will have your sins washed away, but likewise will you enjoy the blessings that we have mentioned and receive the assurance and the peace in looking forward to eternity. Come now. Or if you're here and you are a child of God, but you've gone back into the world, come back. Repent of those sins. Confess them. Pray to God for forgiveness. And His promise is now as it has been and forevermore will be. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ this morning, be thankful that you have an opportunity to take care of that and to see your souls cleansed from the filth of the world. You can do that if you'll come now while together we stand and sing.